welcome. So, welcome to all of you listening, Squamish, in Manhattan, in Long Beach, in Lander, and wherever you happen to be. If you're local, I hope you will be taking notes and coming in to see some of the fabulous things coming up. I'm going to go right to my first guests because I've got a very full show today. And they are, well, I'm going to let you tell them because they're representing several different things, actually, which is terrific. It's all in Tillamook County, North Tillamook County in this case. And I have Vera Wildauer and Madeline Olson here. So welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madeline, is this your first time on KMUN?
It is, yes.
Is it your first time on radio?
No.
Okay, well, we have a KMUN virgin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Vera, no. She's been here for years, actually. It's true. And Vera, we know mostly from the Manzanita Writers series.
Right.
And Madeline is the board chair of the North Tillamook County Library, which is located in Manzanita. Is there a Tillamook County Library in Tillamook, the town of Tillamook as well?
Yes, the main branch library is in Tillamook.
Is in Tillamook.
Downtown,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. So this library is in Manzanita. How big is it?
So it's about 1,200 square feet, if that's what you're talking about. It's one of the most used libraries in this county system. It's a library that was developed by the community, funded by the community, built by the community,
oh, wow,
and is owned by the nonprofit that I'm board chair of. We're a membership organization of Library Friends.
How wonderful. And that's just the Friends of the North Tillamook County Library.
That's right.
How long has it been there?
This building was completed and dedicated July of 1987. The library started in the corner of a realty office in 1930 with books from some of the women in the community who said, we need a library.
So that was in 1930?
1930.
And then in 1987, 57 years later, a building.
Yes.
Okay.
In the meantime, in the late 30s, they moved to the Pine Grove Community Center and occupied a corner of that building until they spilled out all over because the library is widely used.
So do you focus mostly on local writers or at this point everybody? Or
well, so the library collection is broad, very broad. And it's the library system is connected across the state so they can get you just about any book that's been published.
Excellent.
That's available, including at the state library.
Excellent, excellent. So. Okay, now, some of you may be wondering why we have someone connected to the library here today, and that's because we're very excited. We are celebrating America's Librarian. Vera, why don't you give us a background and how this comes about? This is at the Hoffman.
Actually, the location, it's sponsored by the Hoffman in part and the Manzanita Writer Series because this is our 10th year and we were looking for ways to, kind of be exciting about that. And so we got together with the Friends of the Library and said, hey, let's bring Nancy Pearl, America's Librarian, also known as a rock star librarian, if that can be a thing. Anyway, and so we're going to actually have it at the NCRD Performing Arts Center,
Much
since
bigger.
Their capacity is a lot bigger, right?
Yes. And give us the logistics first, the date, time.
Yeah. So it's a week from tomorrow on October 20th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. You can purchase tickets ahead of time at the HoffmanArts.org website. $25 for general admission.
Okay, we don't usually give prices, but we'll let people go there. HoffmanArts.org. And the Hoffman is this extraordinary, it's not small, but it certainly isn't big, but you wouldn't know it because there's so much going on there.
Yes.
There's art, there are concerts, There's a gathering place for all kinds of things. And this community, this North Tillamook community, which is, in my mind, the Tri-Villages, as I say, Manzanita, Nehalem, which is where the North County Recreation District, NCRD, is located on 9th Street in Nehalem. And then the third is Wheeler. And those three work together very closely on a lot of projects, so and are very active. But I had no idea that it went back to 1930 with the library starting. That's very impressive.
It is impressive. Yeah. And that it's existed all of these years.
Right. And that local people made it happen, which seems to be the way around here, which I think is very fortunate for us because these days so much is being taken away. But when we're the ones making it happen, nobody can take it away because we're all volunteers anyway, right?
Right. That's true.
So there you go. So Nancy Pearl. Now, when I saw that, I had to let out a big chuckle because I was lucky enough to see Nancy Pearl. I don't remember what year it was, but she was the keynote speaker at the Get Lit at the Beach, what's that? Well, it's literature. That's what it's about, Get Literature at the Beach. And it's a wonderful, from the Tolovana Arts Colony puts it on. And when I first read that a librarian was going to be our keynote speaker, I kind of thought, really? I mean, I have good friends. Some of my best friends are librarians. Cheryl, that's for you. But still, that was a bit far-fetched until she got up to talk. And oh my God, she had us laughing and listening. And I'm sure you've seen her action doll. I mean,
yes.
What? So tell us about this dynamo, Nancy Pearl. Where is she from? Where did you connect? How did you connect with her? And what's she going to be doing?
Well, she's from Seattle most recently. You can hear her on various radio shows. She also has a podcast, video podcast thing, where she talks to authors. And I actually encountered her at Wordstock last year because she just came out with a novel, which was a big departure for her. She mainly recommends books as opposed to writes books. And so George and Lizzie is her novel that came out last year. Nice. So she'll be, I'm sure, reading about from that as well. But I think the topic will be really much more about the impact that books and libraries have on our lives and expanding our minds and broadening perspectives and how important that is. Right, would you say?
I think one of the things that she talks about with a lot of passion is what libraries can do for young people in somewhat disadvantaged circumstances. By selecting books and reading books, you can begin to envision a different future for yourself. And I think for her to talk about that in a community will be really powerful.
She also has some tricks of the trade because somebody asked her, well, what do you read and what do you have on your reading table? And here's it. She gave this to us and I promised myself I was going to do it, but so far I've failed. And that was, at night, she has two books by her bed. One's fiction and one's nonfiction. And she decides at the time, just two books though, not stacks, so you have to decide what to do, and then they're all a quarter read or a half read. And then she decides, depending on her mood, which book to pick up and read, and by golly, finish the book, unless, and she gave us cues on that too, on when to decide not to finish the book. Plus, as I say, she was very funny lady.
Yes.
Very funny lady. So this is terrific. Now, tell us the format, because this is unusual.
Yes, for us. Usually we just have the author speaking and reading from their books. But this time, April Bear from State of Wonder show on OPB will be actually interviewing her. So it's in conversation. April Bear is a really great interviewer.
She is.
So that's wonderful.
What's different is April usually because she's been here, and they have a whole production team. Unlike this show, which is all completely live, they tape their shows and edit them, and it's an hour show, and they pack it in because it's cutting. This is going to be, I think, possibly live that she will be recording. Do you know?
Yes, or? Yes. They have a sound engineer coming down. It's all very exciting. Mm-hmm. And they'll be recording for future broadcasting.
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be live, I don't think.
Okay. So they can edit if necessary.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I thought it was going to be live, and I thought, oh, that puts her on the spot. But she's a good interviewer. Mm, yeah. I enjoy that show, too. This is happening on the 20th, which is a week from tomorrow, 7 p.m. at the NCRD. That's the North County Recreation District, 9th Street in Nehalem. You recommend people get their tickets in advance?
We'd love for people to get their tickets in advance.
And the best way is to go to HoffmanArts.org?
Right.
Okay.
Right online, PayPal or credit card, whatever.
Right. And then you're supporting this incredible community endeavor. I'm so glad, Madeline, that you told us this history. I had no idea about that. And it's very impressive. Are any of the people who... I'm sure the people who established it are gone by now, but are some of the
original,
really?
Well, one original fundraiser I'm well aware of is Carol Povey, who's 103 years old.
Carol Povey is 103?
Yes, she had her 103rd birthday in September.
She writes on BBQ all the time. I had no idea.
She was one of...
Yes.
You know, she's a force to be reckoned with still.
Yes.
And so she and many other members of the community just did whatever they could do to earn the core money to apply for the grant and get that building built because they were determined.
Yes. And folks now are familiar with present-day Manzanita, especially. Nehalem's coming up and Wheeler is still relatively quiet as the hubbub. With all kinds of vacation homes and tourism and stuff like that. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that even 15 years ago. You know, Manzanita, all three of those, beautiful, right on the beach. And the easy thing about Manzanita is that there's basically one road. If you go to Lanita Avenue, you find everybody, the galleries, the books, the shopping places, the food. And it's a delightful community. So, Vera, have you been there for a long time?
Since 2006, so
okay,
whatever that is, 12 years, yeah.
How about you, Madeline?
I've had a home there since 2007, and I retired there in the middle of 2012.
Okay, you sound like more like a New Yorker than an Oregonian, but we'll talk about that later. So, Nancy Pearl, the librarian, folks, she will delight you. And this is, again, the 20th, a week from tomorrow night, 7 p.m., at the NCRD. This is the HoffmanArts.org event. Now, I asked Vera to tell us also about the Manzanita Writers. That's 10th.
Yes,
year.
It's our 10th year.
And you and?
Kathy Hightower, we
Kathy
started
Hightower.
That and really started with bringing Northwest authors to read from their work and then added workshops. We also publish a literary journal that focuses on people with connections to the North Oregon coast.
What's the name of that?
The North Coast Squid.
Yes.
And we also do the Word and Image Project, which is writers and artists. In fact, the latest show is up in our gallery right now.
I just announced it last week.
Right, yes, where artists and writers respond to each other's work. What else do we do?
It's a great concept.
All kinds of things for writers. We have a weekly writing lounge where people can come and generate new work or work on their own projects.
So will they find that on HoffmanArts.org?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
That's a program of the Hoffman Center for the Arts. Yeah.
And there's lots more because maybe the music in the gardens is over for the...
Yes, it's over for...
They had it all summer, though.
Yes.
Terrific. So, okay, well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming in. Nice to meet you, Madeline Olson, the board chair of the North Tillamook County Library, which is in Manzanita, and Vera Wildauer, who is all over the place with writing and the arts in Manzanita and wherever she needs to be to make things happen. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And speaking of the Hoffman, tomorrow evening they have Terry Robb coming in to perform music. So let's have a listen to some music from Terry Robb, and we'll be right back at you, KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook.
There's a little white moon sitting in the sky. It don't do nothing but shine, shine, shine. If the moon could talk, I wonder what the moon would say. Hey, yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder what the moon would say. There's a little brown bottle sitting on the table, all alone and empty, but it's got a nice label. If the bottle could talk, wonder what the bottle would say. Yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder what the bottle would say. You know, I had me a lover and I tried, tried, tried. Finally had to leave her and she cried, cried, cried. If my heart could talk, I wonder what my heart would say. Yes, I wonder. Yes, I wonder, yes, I wonder what my heart would say. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's Terry Robb, and that is tomorrow evening at that very same Hoffman Center where we were talking, is sponsoring the librarian event at Makes It Sound. She's an entertainer, really, this woman, but she her profession is libraries, and she knows her stuff. So Terry Robb at the Hoffman in Manzanita, and one of these days we're going to get him here on the air. Timing doesn't seem to work out too well, though. Right now, speaking of timing, I have the spirits of the ancients, and neither of them is particularly ancient. However,
well, I don't know.
well, everything's relative, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all in it together, the three of us. I have Marie Powell and Penny Treat are here, and I'm looking at a wonderful card for their show, which is actually called Spirits of the Ancients. And it's a collaborative show honoring the spiritual aspects of stately old-growth trees gracing the forests of the Pacific Northwest. And when organic things happen, not just trees, but in this radio show, it always makes my heart full. And that is that later in the show, we're going to speak to some of our Māori artists from New Zealand. And so speaking of spirits of the ancients, we've got it coming and going, and part of the other co incidents is that Marie lives in New Zealand part of the year.
Mm-hmm, that's
so
right.
We've got a nice tight circle. This show is happening. It's opening tomorrow evening during Astoria Art Walk, which is going to be very exciting, as it always is. But there are some new galleries I haven't even been in yet, and I'm looking forward to it. This is at Riversea Gallery, which is not a new gallery. That's 20-some years old, and it's 1160 Commercial Street. So both of these artists are from the Washington Peninsula. Marie Powell has her own gallery in Ilwaco on the water. Mm-hmm. Penny, where are you working from these days?
Well, I started the Artport Gallery about 6 years ago, and then mm-hmm. it morphed into a smaller gallery, and Louisa Mack and I ran that for a couple of years. And because I was in the management business and it seems like I was not getting enough work, work.
Yeah.
And my husband built me a lovely art studio. I decided, boy, I need to back away. So now I'm just concentrating on my work. So this was a very special show regarding trees. There were some real inspirational articles by Roger Norband. David Kempeach regarding trees. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you drive by them every day and, you know, you don't realize just the impact they've had on our history. How about the 9,000 years of the olive tree
mm-hmm.
and what it has given us? So
how did you two, now you've known each other, you were working in a similar space or close by space, how did you decide to do a collaborative show? Was it because of the work or because you like putting it out there or did
I think one of the reasons is we're both printmakers and that's how we met pretty much was at Royal Nebaker's the college here in Astoria.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a lot of printmaking together. And so we've always kind of collaborated on that sort of thing. And I think that's why we've done this show together. That's one of the reasons, I guess.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think, you know, our work is not the same by any means.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, you have a way of collaborating, and collaboration with other artists is very important for growth. So you don't stay in the same venue forever and ever. You keep moving forward. So with this show, as well as the other one, we've decided to do an installation.
Oh, okay. Tell us. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. I'm picturing Riversea. Are we going to be in the big room in the back?
In the big room.
Okay. So what does it mean to have an installation?
Well, it's not just 2D art on the walls. Mm-hmm. It's actually 3D, so you can walk around the art. And so because it's all about trees, the spirit of trees, and my trees extend throughout the world. Mine are not just Pacific Northwest. So we decided to do a grove of trees with our monoprints. And it's rather unique. And so I'm not going to tell you too much about it. But for all those people that come to the show, we are handing out free Douglas fir seedlings.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. And there's more as well. So it's really going to be a fun show. And we've had so many people love it so far that tried to peek in, mm-hmm. see it while it's being installed. I think it's going to draw a lot of people. And we're really excited about that.
And this show will be up through November 6th. So people, the best thing is if you can come tomorrow evening, because I presume you'll both be there.
Yes.
So you can answer questions and talk to people further about what you're doing and why.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from 5 to 8 tomorrow evening. But the show will be up, as I say, through November 6th. So if either you do get there tomorrow night, but there are so many people you can't see the work, you get lost in the forest for the trees or something like that, then you can always come back and see it. Or if you just don't make it. And you can also usually check online riverseagallery.com and see something about the show. So can you tell us a little bit about your process, Marie? Why don't you start?
Yeah, I have a couple of different types of work in there. What I've done, to go back a little bit here, I've spent like 30 years or so hiking through the forests at New Zealand, Hawaii, and of course the Pacific Northwest. But I have always kind of focused in my hiking on the fallen trees and the trees, you know, where you can see the end grain of the trees and all the rings of the trees. And I've always found that very fascinating. So when we decided to do this show, I've, you know, just zeroed in on that aspect of trees. And so what I've done is I actually took wood pieces, both long grain and end grain, and I had to prepare them by torching them and then scrubbing them, cleaning them, and sealing them. And then I could apply my inks, which are oil-based inks, and actually print them. So I have in this show a series of small monoprints that are done with oils and of the grain of the wood. And it's pretty interesting what happened with that. And then I've done three large canvases, and those incorporate both the monoprints and also my acrylic painting.
Right, that's the...
On the postcard there.
You rings of the ancient. I recognize that.
I've abstracted that a bit.
When you say you did monoprints with it, did you cut then slices off
I
the
took
end
the
of the
slice,
tree?
Yes, end grain slices. Mm-hmm. They're still quite irregular, so I had to hand print those instead of putting them through the press.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But the long grain I'd used a flat surface, and I could actually put it through my press. But I'm happy with the results. I think you'll like them.
And then they're extremely colorful, as most of Marie's work is.
Yes, so. Yeah, pretty saturated color.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Penny, how about you?
Well, you know, I worked for the Quileute tribe as a designer years ago in Quileute.
Mm-hmm. And that's right here in Washington.
It is, indeed. And the Quileute red cedar is not the tallest, not the oldest, but it is one. It's the largest independent structure, not like the banyan tree where you have the roots coming down to the ground. Independently, it is the largest.
The trunk.
The trunk. And it is a magnificent tree. And when I was there, it almost was a religious experience to go into the forest at that time. And it inspired my work. So all the work that I did, the furniture I designed, the breaching whales, the macaw designs that you can borrow, but you can tweak them a little bit, but they can't be exactly theirs. Even their songs, you can borrow them for a day, but you can't keep them. So working in that environment really inspired me. And so a lot of this work is about that feeling. And then I took on some trees throughout the world, the trees that have changed our world, like, you know, like the olive tree, the Bristol cone pine, the cedars, I have quite a collection of monoprints, watercolor, and painting. So I have three mediums
show.
Yes, and I really push myself for that, especially the big canvas of the Bristol.
I can't wait to see this show. I'm thinking of, I know that room, and I'm just thinking that is going to be powerfully packed with beautiful, beautiful art and evocative art as well. Again, this is called The Spirits of the Ancients. And so you're talking about religious or spiritual and the trees.
Well, there's a cross in that one. If you turn it around, you'll see the simulated cross
laying down.
It's subtle. And that's the point. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also colorful. So the room is going to be lit up with the light of these works. Rings of Life and Rings of the Ancients are the two on the postcard, which I highly recommend you grab when you're in there or get on the list.
Unfortunately, all the cards are gone.
Oh, they are.
They said they were out of cards for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're so gorgeous. I can see why. And then Penny's Wonder Tree and the Bark Flesh are the ones on the card. But the pieces themselves are going to be even more outrageous and beautiful. And again, you can go to riverseagallery.com to get a look. Marie, what's your website?
It's marie-powell.com.
Okay. So it's got a dash in it and .com. Penny, you
I'm just pennytreat.com.
Okay. Okay. So we've got lots of places if you can't get to the exhibit, but if you can, definitely do it. Congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you, Carol, for hosting us.
Oh, you
You're
best.
Always the best of the best.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm so delighted to be able to find out about all these fabulous things and then share them with everybody else. And a tip of the hat to Roger Dorben, Dave Campiche, also to Helen Westbrook, people who have worked to preserve and to keep our forests, and all of the people, the Forest Interest Group, who care about this area we live in that is so rich.
And all the trees. Animals that depend on the forest.
Absolutely.
And I think, those trees.
I think Roger will be at the opening tomorrow night.
Good.
He's going to be passing out our free seedlings.
Oh, good. And Roger himself is, in addition to being a writer, is a fabulous photographer. So you can check in with him on that. Thank you so much. Penny Treat and Marie Powell, Spirits of the Ancients, part of at the Riversea Gallery, 1160 Commercial, in Astoria, part of Astoria Art Walk. And I'm going to let them go, but I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what's happening while my next guests are coming in terms of Art Walk. So thanks so much for being here.
Yeah.
So, folks, the Art Walk, speaking of trees, I had the advantage of stopping by today at the Lightbox Photographic Gallery in Astoria, and the exhibit there is quite marvelous. I'll let you know a little bit more about it, but let me tell you who else is happening. The Art Loft has nautical paintings, and McVarish Gallery is presenting Jane Tarsus in Learning to Live in the World. AVA Artists in Residence are at 80 11th Street. That's upstairs. Mixed media presentation of Earth, Tree, and Sky Masks by Luca Etienne. And Imogen Gallery is presenting Mark Boone, Shaman's Way. Mark was on my show last week. I stopped by and saw that show. It's wonderful. And the Astoria Visual Arts Gallery is featuring Sarah Bolajack, who tells stories dear to her heart through intricate etched lines of intaglio printmaking. Cargo is doing its annual Mexican Day of the Dead altar. And that Cargo is right next to Imaging Gallery. They're both on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. Oscar de Masai Gallery is 1124 Commercial. It's right there in that same area with the AVA Gallery. Luminary Arts, 12 regional artists with a show called The Eyeball. And Holly McCone is up and running, and she is... well, she's all over as well. Riversea, you just heard. CORE, the Coastal Oregon Artist Residency, is featuring their three artists in residence, Cara Miko, Wendy Vorse, and Stephen Schumacher. And that is at 1312 Commercial Street. We have the Ruins at the Astor. So that's at 1425 Commercial, and that will be most interesting. Check it out. And then Creation Studio, 1396 Duane, and Bridge and Tunnel Bottle Shop and Tap Room. And there's lots more going on. I'm going to give you a little bit of music because my guests are sitting out there waiting for me. Be right back. Coast Community Radio.
fries, fish for salmon, cake, a wand to guard the shore. There's a sleepy seaside village that the tourists once ignored. The red flashing light there marks it. Folks come from near and far, 'cause there's nothing quite as cozy as a drink in that little coast bar. The decor is not fancy, the furnishings aren't new, but the waitresses are friendly and sometimes will flirt with you. It's a place where locals gather that welcome strangers too. Even on a rainy Friday night, they'll find a spot for you. Where the Dorias fish for salmon, Cape Kiwanda guards the shore. There's a sleepy seaside village that the tourists once ignored. The red flashing light there marks it. Folks come from near and far, 'cause there's nothing quite as cozy as a drink in that little coast bar. Bob surveys the clientele, the wailing jukebox cries. Norma drinks a Heidelberg on a stool she occupies. Phil and Leslie are holding court, Billy's telling lies. A young pool player doubles down on his bet to clear the side. Where the Dories fish for salmon, Cape Kiwanda guards the shore. There's a sleepy seaside village that the tourists once ignored. The red flashing light there marks it. Folks come from near and far, 'cause there's nothing quite as cozy as a drink in that little coast bar. There are those that prefer high style or a bland domestic brew, rather than an Oregon hopped creation that'll make a man of you. So give me fishermen and loggers in a down-to-earth small town, a place with just one stoplight where a potty can slow down. Where the Dorias fish for salmon, Cape Kiwanda guards the shore. There's a sleepy seaside village that the tourists once ignored. The red flashing light there marks it. Folks come from near and far, 'cause there's nothing quite as cozy as a drink in that little coast bar.
That is the music. It's not just the music, it's the voice of Tom May. And Tom is going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center tomorrow evening. That's a 7 o'clock performance. Tom is a good friend of everybody's, including Coast Community Radio. We used to carry a show that he produced, and he's a delightful performer as well. So that's in Long Beach, the Peninsula Performing Arts Center, sweet little spot, tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And I have more guests for... Whoa! Not music yet, folks. You got to wait for the music. I have guests, though. And the first one I wanted you to hear from is Ron Craig. And Ron is usually here just once a year. I drag him in to tell us about this fabulous Astoria International Film Festival that he does every year. How many years have you been doing it, Ron?
Oh, I'm having so much fun. This is the 12th year.
12th year. Yes. Holy cow. How did that happen?
Well, I don't know. It's had something to do.
Yeah, really. And this year is basically women in film, isn't it?
Yes. It was part of our mission statement has always been to kind of do films internationally and locally as far as with an underserved segment of the art form as far as independent films. And women have always been in our throes to be able to exhibit. And so these are actually films that we have shown over the last past 12 years to revisit these films. And we put the schedule about 5 months ago when we decided to put together. So every, I think 90% of the films that you're going to see this year are films from past experience.
Okay, I'm thinking of two of them, though, that I think are brand new.
Yes, there are two, yes.
There are just two, right?
Yes,
the beginning and the end. Is that right? RBG must be new because it just came out, didn't it?
Well, it's new to some people, but yeah. That's a whole other issue.
That would be one of my heroes in the world. That's Ruth Bader Ginsburg, our fabulous, esteemed Supreme Court Justice with integrity. I'll say no more. And the first film you're showing
Well, the first one we're doing is Living While Dying, and it deals with the aspect of, you know, generally speaking, we're born and we die, and the fact that it covers different aspects of as far as death, whether you're, should I say, a mature person that's ready to leave this level, or you are a person that has, you know, should I say, a disease that's taken you out. And so here in Oregon, you have that option to be able to push the button if you'd like. So they deal with that. And they also, one of the, it's a number of different people they deal with. One is dealing with Australia, one of the persons who is dying in dealing with an indigenous area as far as how they approach living and dying.
Well, and it just so happens that the filmmaker is a good friend of mine. And so I've been excited to know that this film is coming. Kathy Zoitlin, who is a professional filmmaker, among other things, and she actually traveled to different parts of the world. And there's some humor in this film as well, because her mother, who is a delightful woman, actually climbed inside a coffin.
Absolutely.
And as some people may say, that is sacrilegious. But when you see this film, you will say, oh, yes, let's get to meet this part of life that some of us are so scared of, and yet is so much a part of everybody's life.
Not and, many options.
There's a lot of wonderful humor. I remember one other thing, and one of the guys is a comedian, and he stands up and he actually says, two things in life are guaranteed, and we all know what that is. And he says, but not in my life, only one. Because I told my my CPA to get an extension on my taxes. So he's got death guaranteed, but no. So, I mean, and it's not even irreverent. It's warm and loving and caring. And so those people who might be fearful, and I know some, should realize this could be an advantage to your accepting and embracing the good parts of all of life. So that's the very first. When does this happen, Ron?
That's the 19th and 20th and 21st of this month of October. That film will actually air at 5:30 or 5 o'clock on Friday.
So that's a week from today, folks.
Yes.
That's why we wanted to get you on. Get this on your calendar. And how many films do you have, Ron?
We have 9 films.
Nine films. So it's, you've got, what's the second film on Friday?
The second one is In Her Blood, and it deals with a young family and some of the different aspects of being alone, and also there is a circumstance of a mystery. And so it's not really, I can say it's a horror film, but you don't really see anybody being bludgeoned to death or anything like that. It's a very nice film. The young lady who actually produced and directed the film at one point actually did live in Astoria, as she informed me, and she's actually living in Eugene, which all... with the first two films, that kind of satisfies our idea that we always have local people. We always have someone regional.
Right. Nice. And then on Saturday, you've got, what, three or four?
On Saturday, we have The Passion and the Power. And essentially, it deals with some of the aspects that women had to deal with in the turn, I say, in the Victorian age, so to speak, as far as orgasms and how that played out as far as their assessment of their psychological, you know, I hate to say this, dysfunction that was...
That's what it was called.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
like
it's
hysterical.
Very, very, very insightful. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think people really find it interesting how that plays out. And then we go to The Girls in the Band, which deals with talented musicians as far as whether they're playing trumpets and, you know, or drums, things of that nature. And it's primarily during the 30s and, you know, during World War II, when the guys went off to war, there was no one in the big bands.
Okay.
And so it is very, very insightful.
Is it documentary style?
Yes, it is documentary.
Oh, wow.
And the footage is just, when I first time I saw it, once again, as we showed this a number of years ago, it's just incredible. And it will get people thinking of how this all came together.
Nice.
And then we have Equal Means Equal, which deals with essentially the Equal Rights Amendment. And initially, when we played that a couple of years ago, it was so enlightening to a number of the people, I say broad scope of the women that were in the audience. And I say from a younger perspective, because the Equal Rights Amendment was something that I grew up with, mm-hmm. and knowing what it was and what has happened. So it, like I said, it's very worth seeing as far as some historical perspective and what happened during that time period. And then we go to Notorious RBG. And I've been a fan of hers for a long time, like I said, the longevity. But at the same time, I'll be very frank, there are things that she had done that I wasn't even aware of, that it was not necessarily the fact of her being an advocate across the board as far as our rights.
Yeah.
And so people have to walk into that, knowing that. And like I said, I keep telling people, this is all factual things. This is nothing we've fabricated.
Yeah. No, that is an extraordinary film. And I have an album of RBG, too. I'll play a tune next week. I don't have time this week, but
love it.
You'll see. And you'll notice that she dissents. There's a whole song about her dissenting. We need her so desperately to stay. Yeah.
And then we have Anita, which on Sunday we opened with Anita. And that's primarily about Anita Hill. And that was in 1991 and Clarence Thomas. And so, you know, people say this whole line as far as with the legal system. Well, I make no apologies for that. It is what it is. And so there has been in most recent the month as far as people being able to revisit that. And it's earth shattering to be able to do it. That's what she had to go through. And then we have The Eloquent Nude. And this was one of these films that, you know, it just, the first year we did the film festival, we did this particular film here. Yeah. And it's, once again, it's very insightful from a female perspective. The fact that this woman, when she was interviewed, Karis, she was about 90 years old at the time and stuff. She's revisiting her life. I'm not going to go into any details. It's very visual and stuff as far as what it's about. But I've had a couple people, what does that have to do with? I said, come and watch it.
Right.
You'll
right.
be very impressed.
And Ron is this is a festival of women in film. But clearly, as anybody listening to this can tell, this is for everyone. Some of the pieces may not be for every age, children perhaps, but some of them are, and all of them are for men and women, and
absolutely.
Anyone else who calls themselves whatever they choose to.
Well, like I said, I tell people, and like I said, I don't really feel I have to justify it in some case, but it is who we are as a culture. And I think that as far as some people have been written out of our culture, you know, and I, like I said, I'm not going to go into specifics of that, but once again, it really deals with it. And we always try to finish up with some sort of classic film. And this year we're doing The Women. It's a 1939 film. And it's when I first saw it, I just was kind of didn't understand the whole thing. There are no men in this film at all. And so I said, oh, is that right? So we're talking about 1939, but it's really an incredible film to be able to have done that. And there's some little lines there that people look at and say, wow, that's a 21st century line.
Yeah.
Well, people were still thinking.
Yeah, hello.
So, but yeah, so we tend to do that. And after Equal Means Equal, which on Saturday, we're having a panel discussion that's going to be after the film Equal Means Equal to deal with women in film. And Beth Harrington, a colleague from Portland, who has done a number of films for OPB, and so it's just her most recent film is a documentary about Fort Vancouver. Mm-hmm. But she is well versed as far as in women being in film and the subject matters, so primarily documentaries.
I was going to ask you, because last year we had a wonderful discussion upstairs in the McVarish room after the film, and it was well attended, and everybody really appreciated it. So I'm glad you're going to.
We always try to have something so people can open up and talk about it, because we don't want. It's like one of my whole thing as far as I like people going out of these films, whether there's a documentary or where it's just a regular theatrical film, scratching their head.
Right. Right. This will give everybody an opportunity to ask and answer. Ron Craig, thanks a million for bringing this film festival year after year. I am so thrilled. And it's at the Liberty Theater. And you can go to libertyastoria.org. And it's all laid out. Is that the best?
Would be the best.
You can buy your tickets there as well. We won't give the prices, but you can get a whole package ticket.
Oh, that's right.
Or then, you can buy for the individual films.
There's also some of the films have trailers that you can actually screen to see how it's about and stuff.
Right.
But once again, you know, I like to thank the Astoria community, because 12 years is 12 years, and so it's support of the community, the arts community here. It's just incredible.
Yeah, don't miss it, folks. This is an opportunity you don't get in our town, and sometimes in any other town either, to bring this all together. Invite folks to come to Astoria for the weekend and take in the whole festival. Terrific. Thank you so much, Ron Craig.
Thank you.
Next week, that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Go to libertyastoria.org. While you're there, you'll see what else is going on at the Liberty. This is for next week. Thanks, Ron. Ron's going to slip away, and I'm going to have my other guests move their chairs or however they want to do it. So you each get your own microphone. And I do want to mention that for tonight, folks, Papa, this is the last weekend, Friday tonight, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Sunday at 2, Enchanted April. And that is at the Fort Columbia Theater in Chinook. The Coaster, Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 3, with Ira Levin's Death Trap. Astor Street Opry Company, I saw it last week. Improv comedy, it's just Friday and Saturday at 7. That's it. Well worth seeing. Water Music Festival, holy moly. Fandango is tonight. It is going to be amazing. Four musicians. Diana was here last week. Diane Marshall was here to talk about this. Four international musicians, including from Bosnia, singing, playing, and making all kinds of international music. That's at the Inn at Harbor Village. Tomorrow, Mark Teichholz, whose awards are up the yin-yang, he's at 3 o'clock, classical guitar at the Oysterville Church. And then on Sunday, Alpin Hong, who is also, his credits go off the charts. He is classical piano, 2 o'clock at the Eagle's Nest. That's Water Music Festival. And there's an Navratria Festival with DJ Prashant, a dance party tonight at the Elks at 8 o'clock. And Labor Temple has all kinds of stuff going on. Tomorrow, there's everything happening, including Art Walk, and have more guests, and I want to give them a little bit of time. I just want to tell you, I stopped in at Lightbox, and don't miss that. They're part of Art Walk, and they're right on Marine Drive, 1045 Marine Drive, from 5 to 8. It's called the Odd, ODD exhibit, and let me tell you, it is. I had to stand in front of these photographs and figure out what I was looking at. Russell Joslin is the curator, the juror, and check this out. And if for some reason you can't go tomorrow night, it will be up for the month. There's lots of other art going on that I mentioned. And then Astoria Studio Collective, 10 a.m. on Saturday. John Sibley Williams, that's at 1010 Duane. Cannon Beach Community Church has a Steinway concert tomorrow night. The Moose Lodge, John Lennon birthday celebration. Thank you, Pierce Christie. 6 to 10 tomorrow night. The Hoffman is featuring Terry Robb. Peninsula Arts Center, Tom May. The Cranberrian Festival, we talked about that last week. That is going to be so much fun. Saturday and Sunday, Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum in Ilwaco and the Cranberry Museum in Long Beach. World Kite Museum and Skamakaway has an art reception. On Sunday, Russian Gold is at the Liberty, libertyastoria.org. You know who that is. That's our buddies, Sergey and Ilya, the best, the best. That's at 4 o'clock. Fort George is featuring Van Rootens. And on Wednesday, the Oyster Crackers are going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center. They're terrific. And I'm going to let my guests tell you what else is happening that day. Thursday, Clatsop Community College is at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, is featuring America is a Great Place to Live. Justina Kizilowitz's art.
The Liberty has the Dancing with the Clatsop County Stars. It's a benefit for the harbor, and it's going to be a blast. At 11:30 till 2 or 1 is Laksaloda at the Suomi Hall, my favorite dinner of the year, and Kala's featuring Will Horniak with Celtic New Year Samhain. And Oysterville Schoolhouse has Andrea Patton's poetry and Three Cups Coffee, Jan Bono. And now, I said on Wednesday, there's a lecture, and I'm not sure what else, but I have some guests here who are going to tell you. Grab those microphones or just sit in. Three of our esteemed guests. I was so excited to hear that our friends from New Zealand, our Maori friends from New Zealand, are back this year. Next weekend, next Friday, I'm going to have, if we get lucky, all nine of them here in the studio. That will be a feat, but we'll see what we can do. Carla Ruka is here. Hi, Carla.
Hi, Carol.
And then Dorothy Whiteford?
Whiteford.
Whiteford.
Kia ora.
I'll just do my phonetics here. There we go. And Rhonda Holliday.
Kia ora. Hey,
kia ora? Is that
kia ora.
Kia ora. I have to write these things down. Mind you, I did it last time, but when was the last time you folks were here?
Oh, 2015.
Stay on the mic. They went
2015.
Okay, so it's 3 years ago.
Yes.
And I'm delighted because all three of you were here then as well. How about the rest of the folks who are here this year? Some of them new? And
There's three people who have come with us that weren't with us last time. It's Paito Cornell, Wee Taiapa, and Jamo Riddell. The rest of us were here last time.
Oh, wow.
Apart from
we are college. So honored. Richard Rowland works with folks, and these are all clay artists. They're all different, though. They all do different kinds of work, and some of them are wearing some of their work as well, which is kind of fun for me. Let's tell folks, you tell folks, because I don't really know, what are you going to be doing on Wednesday? It's at the art gallery. I understood you're giving a talk and maybe slides or something. Do you know what that
is?
Yes,
we are having a lecture presentation, and we will be gathering there to talk a bit about our work and our group. We are the Indigenous people of New Zealand, or Aotearoa. And the title of our group is Ngā Kaihanga Uku, which means Māori Clay Workers Collective, kind of. So we'll be talking about how that kind of came about our founders, and also about ourselves and how we fit into the group, and about our work.
Mm. And we'll have slides, so it'll be visual. We'll most likely sing because we like to.
Yes.
Play guitar.
This is, let me tell you, folks, this is a fun group of people. They know how to have fun, and we all get to have fun with them. So can you, I have like a minute to go. Can you give me in that little short time something about your work?
Oh, we all work very differently.
Right, so yeah. Tell me something special about your work that's different from everyone else.
Well, people might remember last time when we had the exhibition at the Clatsop Community College that my works were about birthing pieces. So I had feet, hands or faces coming out of shells or sea pods. But my work has moved since then, and that was from that visit. So I'm going to be really keen on sharing that with the community on Wednesday.
Wonderful. Awesome. Wonderful. How about you, Dorothy?
My work's changing as well since the last time I was here, and I'm really keen to sort of connect with the people here through what I will share.
Okay. And Carla?
I'm a speed coiler, and I love to build everything big. Sometimes I have to, like, shrink down and make little things, which I'm wearing today.
Yes, gorgeous.
I met a few people in town today, which is very exciting. Okay. I've probably talked their ears off, actually.
This is great.
And, yeah, so my work is based around female form. The Power of Woman, The Power of Being Who You Are. And I'm looking forward to talking about my work at the presentation.
And folks, this is all happening on Wednesday the 17th, starts at 1 o'clock, get there before that. It's at the Art Gallery, and you will be thrilled and delighted. Last time they were here, I actually took a printmaking class. The two founders